Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, welcome back for another program.
And we look at the highlight of the last 7 days, actually, which has been the week of prayer for Christian unity, during which the Holy Father three times, twice at the weekly audience and once at the Sunday Angelus, spoke of the week of prayer for Christian unity. And in particular, at the Wednesday audience, the talk was indeed, of course, on the week of prayer for Christian unity. And the Holy Father stressed really the word prayer. It is our duty. It's not just the hierarchy, the VIPs of the various churches who have to get together and meet and pray. It's all of us who have to pray for
and
that.
And this is something that was picked up during the week. I interviewed the abbot of St. Paul's Basilica, Dom Edmund Power, and he was saying that one of the things that has struck him during this week of prayer and listening to what the Holy Father has been saying is that the Holy Father has been saying again and again and again, listen. And he was saying that it meant so much to him as a Benedictine because the rule of St. Benedict begins with the word listen.
Well, that's what the Holy Father stressed at the general audience this week. And he said that over these past 40 years of progress on the ecumenical front, he said, what we've learned from the Lord is how to listen, not just to hear.
And one of the features about the Pope going to St. Paul's for the closing of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, because as we're recording this, it's actually a few hours before he goes, the place where his chair is situated is immediately before the high altar and the newly opened up tomb.
Right.
And if you look down, now he's going to have his back to it, but I'm sure he'll want to see himself. It's now where there was the step, it's now covered with thick plate glass.
Right.
So you can see the foundations of the basilica that was built in the year 320. And then you can see part of the wall of the basilica that was built in 390. And you can also see the side of St. Paul's sarcophagus and part of St. Paul's Basilica's program of prayer for Christian unity has involved inviting people from other denominations, and the Romanian Orthodox parish from Ostia had vespers there, and the grill in the side of the altar was opened so that people could go and venerate the tomb of St. Paul itself.
A big week for the Holy Father, and he mentioned the highlights of the past year. He mentioned the progress made over 40 years in ecumenism, and then he spoke of his highlights of the last year.
And he spoke very warmly about his recent visit to Turkey. And
The Patriarch,
meeting the Patriarch.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, he sent greetings again during the Wednesday audience. He spoke of that trip, and he said, and I again send greetings to His Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew. And as a matter of fact, one of the other guests of the Holy Father's Week, it was really a week jam-packed with people. I mean, bishops on their Limina visit, and three new ambassadors, one from Turkey, one from Romania, and the first ambassador from Montenegro to the Holy See. What I found very interesting about Montenegro, I was doing a little research, you know, on the country and so forth. It just declared its independence from Serbia last June, so it's a very recent event. But it's a country of only 630,000 people. I don't know, unless it might be San Marino or something like that, I don't know how many other countries we have diplomatic relations with that have a populace that small. But one of the ambassadors, which I just mentioned, of course, was Turkey. And the Holy Father expressed his delight at meeting the ambassador, his profound gratitude to the government and the people for his very warm, wonderful reception in the last days of November. And he did not forget to mention to the new ambassador, he said that he hoped that the Catholic Church would be able to enjoy a juridical status in a recognized juridical statute, and to see the beginning of a fruitful relationship with, of course, the state authorities. So that was mentioned as well as the highlights of his ecumenical trip. But, you know, there were so many events this week. We could do two of these shows, or we could do four shows, and each one concentrating on a major event. So we have the ambassadors, we have Christian Unity, and then, of course, China. There was a meeting last weekend in the Vatican, a high-level meeting on the question of a look at the Catholic Church in China. And you had Cardinal Zen of Hong Kong. He had just turned 75, and he hopes very much that the Holy Father will accept his resignation so he can dedicate himself to furthering the relations, to get to the point of diplomatic relations between China and the Holy
See. He's worked extremely hard, hasn't he?
He really, really has. And he was joined by another cardinal, Cardinal Shan, who's the Archbishop Emeritus of Kaohsiung in Taiwan, where, of course, they have religious freedom. The Catholic Church is flourishing in certain parts of Taiwan. It's a small number of Catholics, but boy, are they active and dedicated, and there's hundreds and hundreds of religious. There are 80 to 90 orders of religious women, and there are, I think it's either 30 or 40 orders of men there waiting to go to mainland China. It's a very interesting thing.
My own congregation had a community there in Taiwan, actually in Taipei, for a good number of years.
The church would very much like to have diplomatic relations with China. There's just a few obstacles in the way, and obviously one of the biggest is religious freedom. The Chinese allow, if you will, this patriotic Catholic association, but you do as we say and forget being loyal to the Pope, and they name the bishops and so forth. Of course, the three bishops they ordained this year, those were all illegitimate. They did not have a papal mandate. So there is that question to resolve. And for China, for diplomatic relations to take place, they want the Holy See to break relations with Taiwan, which the Holy See would do, to have everybody to have relations with mainland China, of which Taiwan, I guess, I don't know, would be a part. But it's very... Oh, and another thing that China has asked of the Holy See is we don't want interference in our internal affairs. Well, the Vatican, the Holy See, the Church doesn't want to interfere in anybody's affairs. And I think what China sees as interference is if an organization, institution like the Catholic Church speaks out on human right, human life, human dignity, they see that as interference. They see the Holy See as delivering a message to them. Holy See is delivering a message to the world, and China is one of the recipients. But the interesting thing about the China meeting was the several things that were said in the communique that came out afterwards. One was the inspiring witness of the bishops, priests, and lay faithful that was recognized with profound appreciation because those who have never compromised their loyalty to the See of Peter, sometimes at the cost of grave suffering. And we know the people that have been imprisoned and so forth for their faith. And then the note also mentioned with particular joy that today almost all of the bishops and priests are in communion with the Supreme Pontiff. And then a phrase I found interesting because they didn't go into it anymore. The participants spoke of the, quote, surprising numerical growth of the ecclesial community. They didn't mention numbers, and we don't really have numbers. There's been no official survey or any census, if you will, of the church there. And the numbers range quite a bit. Cardinal Shan, who is from mainland China, told me in an interview that he figured it could be anywhere from 10 to 14 or 15 million of your Catholics loyal to the See of Peter and the Pope. I see by our trusty clock that we're getting very low, almost down to no seconds left in our show. So I just want to mention only to everyone listening to us to go to the Holy See's website, the press officer, maybe the Pope himself, and look at his speeches and messages. The Pope's message for 2007 World Communications Day came out on the 24th of January. It's entitled Children in the Media, A Challenge for Education, and it is fantastic. Very readable. It is 1,000 words, and it invites us to reflect, as the Pope says, on two related topics of immense importance. The formation of children is one. The other, perhaps less obvious, but no less important, is the formation of the media. It is a phenomenal message. Some members of the media may be happy, others may not. But I say, if you are a child, if you are a parent, if you are a member of the media, read this message. I wish we had more time today to go into it.
And on that note, God bless.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.